And just to add a little bit more, that when we think about the various related words, so saint is the noun form of sanctify. If it would help us, sometimes it's good to actually think in our heads, sanctify, it's like if we had such a word, it's sanctified. We are saintified. And holy, although it comes from a different source in English, holy and saint are sanctified are really the same words too. When something is holy, it's sanctified, and saint, sanctified, holy, they're all the same word as the New Testament uses them. And to think about what holy means, we saw it yesterday with the incense, I think. It doesn't mean sinless. It doesn't mean righteous. Holy and righteous are two different words, and sometimes we use holy as if it means righteous. But holy means, if we could put it in a way that doesn't sound too low, supremely unique. Remember how it said that the incense was holy incense. And why was it holy? It's because it couldn't be used for any other purpose. It was set apart for just that purpose. And so when we have been sanctified, it's not that we have been made sinless. It's not that it's not related to justification, the part about being declared righteous. It's that we are established as someone God has taken for himself. He has set us apart for himself. He has sanctified us. And just one more on the washing. It's in Titus chapter 3. To accomplish this sanctification, to accomplish this first initial act of setting us apart for himself, another reference to the washing is in Titus chapter 3 and verse 4. When the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly, and so on. Having been justified in verse 7, then there's a process that continues on. But this washing in verse 4 and verse 5 is a one-time act. It's the washing of regeneration. And I don't know if you're going to get to this phrase, Tim, but it's God who does the washing. And in Exodus chapter 29, it's Moses being told to wash the priests there in Exodus 29. You will wash Aaron and his sons. Mm-hmm. Maybe you want to say more about that?
No. But I do want to just underline that word, set apart, because that's what it means. And we need to understand that the moment we were declared righteous by God, justification, the brazen altar, the moment that took place, God also positionally set us apart for him. And we need to understand that. That's a one-time thing, just like those priests were washed and anointed and ready. Their garments were washed. They were washed. They were set apart for that service. And that's what God has done for each one of us. In doing that, God has made each one of us a kingdom of priests. Okay? So, male, female, every one of us are holy priests and royal priests before God. He set us apart. That's what we are. Now, we're going to get into, and we probably should move on, to this thought of the practical side of it. And thinking of the setting apart positionally was a one-time thing, but every time they came in, and it was only the priests that could come in to the laver. And so every time a priest would come to the laver, before he could go inside and enjoy everything else inside, he had to stop at the laver, and he had to wash his hands, and he had to wash his feet. He didn't have to wash all of him, but he did have to wash the things that got dirty. And if you think about this, what did he just do out here? What did he just do at the brazen altar? What happened? Yeah. So what's on his hands? Blood, right? He's dirty. And so now he's coming, and before he can go in, he has to clean. His feet, probably the dirt and the dust of everyday life, he's dirty, so he has to clean. Now, I put this picture back up there because I think it's important for us just to underline and to get to the practical side of this. What was the labor made out of? And let's have some discussion about that.
Bronze?
Okay.
Yeah, that was the second passage that we had before us, which was Exodus 38, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was so interesting how the Spirit of God would have led the creation to be made of the mirror of the women who worked at the tent. I think as it relates to the progressive sanctification, I think there's a strong connection between that reality and the verse that I'd read in Ephesians 5 that speaks of, I think there's an image of the fact that it was the women there connecting mm-hmm. to the church, the bride of Christ. But it's a really interesting picture of examining ourselves and what we see in 1 Corinthians 11 where, maybe we read it, how it relates to us as, mm-hmm. as believers in terms of before we break the bread the way that a man would examine himself. You would imagine that the priests would step up to the bronze laver and they would look into the water and see their own reflection. A really vivid, concrete picture of us examining ourselves. And 1 Corinthians 11, starting at verse 26, speaking of the Lord's Supper. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself, or the mm-hmm. translation say damnation on himself. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judged ourselves, we would not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world.
And what word kept getting repeated there in that portion that he just read?
Judgment.
Okay. Yeah. And what did we say yesterday bronze spoke of? What? Sounds like judgment. Yeah, exactly. So I appreciate the thought that Craig had, and that's along the lines of what I think is meant in the bronze, that it's self-examination. The priest couldn't help but see himself as he would wash his hands and feet. He would see, as he's looking on that bronze, he would see that he was dirty. So what would that speak of to us?
James chapter 1.
Very good.
Got it right this time. Verse 22.
Mm-hmm.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does.
Very good. Anyone want to add anything? Or do you want to follow that up with a comment maybe? Maybe you should.